Remain standing. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 together. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 10. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll pray, and then you can be seated, and then we'll continue on with the sermon here. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 10. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 10. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Lord, tonight, a topic we all need. Doesn't matter if we've just gotten saved. Doesn't matter if we've been saved for days, weeks, years, or decades. We all need this truth. Lord, especially our young people, and Lord, even us adults, we think we got a handle on it, and as we use the Word of God to find out we're probably not as good as we think we are. I pray that you just help us tonight, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to preach to you about how to renew your attitude. How to renew your attitude. We've got an escapee, it's Mrs. Lopez, don't worry. I'm teasing. We're okay. Yeah. Parker will put her away. That's okay. That means they're going to go out. They'll come back in, and it's going to be all right. All right. So we're okay. I know we're tight on space, but we've been through worse. I promise you. But tonight I want to talk to you about renew my attitude, or renew your attitude. The Bible says in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Notice that's not capital S.
That's right.
That's man's spirit. And man's spirit is man's attitude. That's your ability to adjust your personality to what's going on in control of things. Your spirit is your attitude. Now, most things in life are determined by our attitude. Our attitude determines the direction things go in our life. I'm not a pilot. I know pilots. I've been around some flying. And on virtually every airplane on the instrument panel, there's an instrument called the attitude indicator. The attitude indicator shows you what direction you're going. It's not a compass, but it's very similar to a compass. And it shows you which direction you're headed. The attitude indicator, by the way, it's appropriately named. Your attitude shows what direction you're going.
Yes.
Did you know somebody can tell you to do something and you can obey with a bad attitude? Did you know somebody can tell you what to do that's wrong and you can do it with a good attitude? So what your attitude is determines what direction you're going. Now, let me go a little farther here, and then we'll get to the meat of the sermon. Our sin causes us to be very selfish in life. If you went back all the way to Genesis chapter 3, when man committed the first sin, when Satan was tempting Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said, "Wouldn't you like to be like God? Wouldn't you like to determine good and evil for yourself? You don't need God. You could be your own God and decide right and wrong for yourself." By the way, that's exactly what Satan did, Lucifer, in heaven in Isaiah chapter 14.
Yeah, right.
It was the same sin. That's why the same punishment on sin is on man that was on the devil, which is hell. Hell was created for the devil and the angels. That sin was committed in heaven before man was created. When man committed the same sin, the same punishment is necessary, or God is not just. Jesus came and died for man. He didn't come and die for the devil and his angels. God loved man so much, he came and paid the sin debt for us. Is all we got to do is get saved. But the devil can't get saved. But that initial sin was, we want to decide what is right and wrong for ourselves. Did you ever notice you don't have to teach a child to have a bad attitude?
That's right.
It comes naturally. It usually starts when they're about an hour old. At most. You say, why? Because that little puppy could be laying there just as calm and all of a sudden they just start squalling. You think they're going to die. They just got a dirty diaper, a wet diaper, or they just decided they're hungry. And then 2 o'clock in the morning rolls around. You think the whole world's going to fall apart. That baby's screaming, it's crying, and it is all it wanted was some attention. Stinking liar, you thought it was going to die. You don't have to. Then it goes to, they get a little angry. We had one of our children, I won't tell you which one. But they were all of a sudden they would just get so mad they'd hold their breath till they passed out. Matter of fact, my wife called me and said I had to call 911. They just passed out, and all of a sudden they got there. He was fine, she was fine, whichever one it was. See, I was covering myself, and my wife ended up calling 911. And all of a sudden the EMT said, was this one mad before they went out? Yeah. They had temper tantrum. Ooh, that's not good. That one, yeah. So then they go from that to usually about age 3, they learn that when the tongue comes out, it's a bad attitude. And they try to hide it. It's normal. You know, they'll 2 year or something like that. I'm trying to hide it from the little ones on this side, just so you know. But they get into that realm, and they start getting a bad attitude. Did you know us older people can have a bad attitude?
Yes, sir.
Don't tell me no, Mom. All right? Wait a minute. Sin causes us to have that bad attitude. What happens is somebody disagrees with what we want, or they disagree with us, and then our attitude flares. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Did you know that the world is bigger than just you? Did you know that you are not the center of the world? I know that's hard to believe. Did you know just because you got to the stop sign first, you shouldn't have a bad attitude if somebody went ahead of you? Did you know no matter what you said to that person, they didn't hear it anyway? Except your wife or your husband or whoever else was sitting in the car. I'll never forget the day I came home. My boys said, Daddy, I think you need to talk to Mom. I said, what's the matter? I don't think Mom cussed, but she said something. We don't know what it means. I said, what are you talking about? I said, we were driving somewhere and this guy crossed over, almost hit us or something. I don't remember the exact scenario. And she called the guy a jerkweed. What's a jerkweed? That's called Baptist cussing, amen? Now, my boys thought Mom lost it. She called somebody a jerkweed while she was driving. Under my breath, I said, it's okay, fellas. Now, the world is bigger than us. Now, by the way, life doesn't always treat you well. Life doesn't always treat you good. I wish you knew some of the stories. We had a lady visit this morning. She just found out in the last week or so she's got cancer. This morning's sermon, and by the way, she ended up getting saved. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You say, what was that? She needed help. direction of life was spinning out of control. She needed some direction. Now, Psalm 50, by the way, we take ourselves and we talk ourselves into depression. We talk ourselves into being arrogant and cocky. We talk ourselves into being pharisaical. We're more spiritual than that. Well, I hate to tell you, if you have to prove to everybody how spiritual you are, you're probably not very spiritual. If you got to use big fancy words, you're probably not real spiritual. No. And there's nothing wrong with big fancy words, but most people use them just to be look intelligent to somebody else, and that's arrogant, it's pride, and it's wrong. Psalm 51 is an interesting chapter. Let me say this. That book was written before man was created.
That's right.
Psalm 51 was penned by David, but it was not written by David. God wrote it. God gave David the words, word for word, and it was written before there ever was a David. Okay? These are not David's words. They're God's. But our sin causes us to want to be God. Now, our sin causes us to view life only through our eyeballs. Did you ever get to a point where you just couldn't get anybody to see life like you do, and it gets very frustrating? It could be that you're not seeing it right. I can take these off and I don't see everything right. Say why? Because I got old eyes. I couldn't read anything written there without my glasses right now. I can see faces, but it's pretty fuzzy. Say why? This helps me put everything into adjustment. That's what sin does to our attitude. It misaligns it. It misjudges it for us. And we can't see clearly. We think we can. I remember the first time somebody told me they thought I needed to go get my eyes checked. I was working for my pastor. I did all the scripture reading. I kept slaughtering scripture. I thought it was just because it's trying to go too fast. He said, I think you need to go get your eyes checked. I said, what for? He said, you're slaughtering scripture. He said, you read better than that. I said, no, my eyes are fine. He said, humor me. All right, I'll go prove you're wrong. I came back with a prescription for eyeglasses. Doggone. So about a year later, started slaughtering scripture again. I'd go back to the eye doctor and get stronger ones. Now I got bifocals. Praise the Lord. Now, I say that to say this. I thought everything was fine. It looked okay to me. But boy, the whole world looked a whole lot different after I got glasses on. Shazam, I could see. Now, our attitude is affected the same way. Tonight, I want to show you the four bad attitudes that can destroy your Christian life. I'm going to show you from Scripture four bad attitudes that could destroy your Christian life, and that we need these four attitudes renewed in our life. We don't need to reuse them. We need to fix them. Does that make sense? All right. Number one. Are you ready? Now, just before I go any farther, I love you. I'm not preaching at anybody with anybody in mind. I'm preaching at everybody, including the guy talking. All right? Number one, a sulking self-pity attitude. A sulking self-pity attitude. Look at Psalm 51, verse number 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. In other words, God, be good to me. Be nice to me. Even though I did wrong, we can get kind of sulky and self-pity. We can get wrapped up into our own selves way too much. And by the way, a sulking self-pity attitude is very contagious. pity parties, another word for it. I don't feel well. Why don't you sit here and cry with me a little bit? Well, bless the Lord, I don't feel good sometimes either, but I don't want somebody crying with me. I want you to help me get up and keep things moving. Because if I sit there and cry about what hurts, I'm not going to get up and get anything done, and that's going to drive me farther down because I didn't get anything done. Everybody understand? And we get into this mode of self-pity. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll go eat worms. I did this, and I did this, and now I don't feel this way, and nobody else loves me like I love them. And we get into this comparing our love to somebody else's love. And we get into this zone of self-pity. By the way, everybody does that, just so you know. It's young people get this attitude. It's just no fun. Well, if it's not fun, it's your fault. I always said, if it's not fun, that's your fault. I was helping my daughter recently. She's got a situation at college she was dealing with. And I reminded her of a story. She said, "Dad, why do you always use that stupid illustration?" I said, "Because it works. And you're going through the same type of thing." I said, "Girl, I said, I can clean toilets and I can plunge toilets with a good attitude." Brother Joe, you remember this. We had a commode clogged up bad at the school one day, and Joe was my janitor. I said, "I got it, Brother Joe." Now, that's not the most pleasant job in the world. Did you ever have to plunge commodes that are all nasty and stuff? That's not a job you want to do in a white shirt and a tie. Some of the kids knew I was going to it. I walked down the hall of the school before I plunged the toilet with the plunger over my head going, da, 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 da. All the kids are going, I said, "I got to go plunge a toilet." And I'm walking by the rooms doing it. I walked in and out of the rooms doing it. I wanted them to see it, that you could do a nasty job and have fun doing it. I heard them all. I got to the bathroom. You could hear all the kids going to the door to listen what's going on. I thought, I got a crowd listening at the doors. They're going to see what the principal at the school is going to do with the plunger. I'm in the bathroom going, da 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 da. It wasn't the most pleasant job in the world, but may I say this? I showed them how you can have a good attitude about a job that's pretty stinky. Did you know something? If it's no fun, it's your fault. When I came out, I wasn't going, da 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 da. I have experienced enough life not to do that. Now, we get into this, well, it's not fair. Look what somebody else has. How come they get it and I don't? Ooh. Now, we get into this comparing our life with somebody else's. We compare what somebody else has with what we have. We see the good somebody else gets and it doesn't come our way. And we wonder, what did I do so wrong that I don't get that? Maybe it wasn't you did something wrong. Maybe it just is that this is what God wanted for them to have right now. Now, it's an attitude because we focus on what we don't have. Can I tell you how to get out of this attitude? Focus on what you do have. Did you know that if you're saved, your name's written in heaven?
Amen.
Your sins are forgiven. You'll never be judged for your sin. Your name's in the book of life. And if you died, you're going to heaven. And guess what? That means everybody else got to pay all your bills when you're gone. I mean, bless the Lord. There's plenty to praise God for. Did you know that you have a place to live?
Yep.
You got food in your belly?
Praise the Lord.
That's enough to praise God for right there.
Amen.
Most of us have far more food than we need. Did you know that we've got plenty to survive with here on earth? God has blessed us with that. We've got family. We've got friends. We've got a good church. Hey, we've got plenty to praise God for. Why do we focus on what we don't have? Why do we focus on we didn't get what we wanted? Why do we focus on maybe, I have plenty of friends and loved ones who have died and gone to heaven. Brother Heil's birthday would have been today. He would have been 90 years old. He's been in heaven for 15 and a half years. Can I tell you something? I miss him. I'm going to say something. I wouldn't want him back right now. He'd been in heaven 15 years. He'd beat the snot out of me if I asked him to come back now. Now, do I miss him? Yes. Am I going to get mad at God because he's not around anymore? No. I have three grandparents in heaven. My wife's got all of her grandparents in heaven. I could go down the line. I've got thousands of people I've helped do funerals for over the years. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of people I miss, but you know what? I'm not going to sulk over the fact I'm going to see them again someday because they're in heaven.
Yes, and praise the Lord for that.
Praise God. If I get down, I just look forward to heaven someday. Mm-hmm. Now, these attitudes come because we want what we want doesn't match what we have. What we want doesn't match what we have. Now listen to this. We have this idea, if it's not bigger, newer, faster, or more expensive, then we're going backwards. Who says?
Amen.
Just because you trade in a new car on a used car doesn't mean you're going backwards if you're paying your bills. If the new car was causing you not to be able to pay your bills, you're going forward by trading it in, getting something you can't afford. Well, I don't want to appear to go backwards. That's your pride. Everybody doing all right?
Yep.
Man, I'm preaching right now. I better duck here. You know, living with less financial and emotional stress is much better than having a bigger house, newer cars, and bigger computers. I know an awful lot of families where the husband and the wife work full-time jobs to pay for a bigger house that nobody's at because they're too busy working to be in it. And please don't take this the wrong way. When you need the bigger house is when you're younger, not when you're old. It amazes me how people go out and buy a brand new house and they're, I better, 80 years old and they got to buy a 5,000 square foot house. 80-year-olds don't need a 5,000 square foot house. They got to take a nap between levels. You know, all of our kids are out of the house. Why would I want to go buy a bigger house just because my kids are gone? I got to chase her around the one I got now. Why do I want a bigger one to chase her in? That's a joke. Laugh, all right? Now, yeah. Now, living with less financial and emotional stress sometimes is much better than having something bigger or newer. Now, I understand from time to time it's the right time to move. And I understand that. There's times, I know the Barneses are looking to sell their house and buy another house, and it's time for them to do it. I'm good with it. But I don't think that we ought to look every year to buy a bigger house. My wife and I, good night, we've lived in 9 or 10, 11, I don't know. We've been married 27 years. I think we've lived in 10 or 11 different houses. And we've been in the one we're at for 14 years. 13 years we lived in like 9 or 10 houses. And then we lived in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different states. I had to count around the country. Sorry about that. I'm tired of moving.
Amen.
I'm pastoring a church now. It's easier for you to move your membership than me to move my furniture. I'm sorry. I'm not going anywhere. I'm dying here, and I got people wished I would die. Now, but I'm not going to try to live above my means. Everybody doing okay with that? Now, say, how do we solve a sulking self-pity attitude? Take 15 minutes a day and praise God for all he's done for you that day. Sit down, make a list on a piece of paper or a 3x5 card, and take 15 minutes and praise God for all the things that he's doing for you right then. Can I tell you something? After 15 minutes of praising God, if you got a bad attitude, take 15 more minutes and do it again. If you can't get excited about 10 visitors or 11 visitors today, 5 people getting saved, 1 person getting baptized, and 2 people joining Grace Baptist Church, you ought to take some time and praise God for that.
Yes.
If you can't praise God for the fact that your sin has been forgiven, you'll never be judged for it, your name's written in heaven, you're going to live in eternity in heaven with God forever, something's wrong with you. Well, I got this problem and this hurts and I got this problem and this doesn't feel good. Did you know nobody wakes up feeling good every day of their life? Life is a process of death. Hate to tell you that. And the closer you get to the end of the process, the more death there is than life. It's just the way it goes. And if it don't hurt, it don't work. Now, Number one, sulking self-pity attitude. Number two, I gotta hurry, an unfriendly attitude. Look at verse number 4. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Evil. Evil is trying to hurt somebody else. It is a planned effort to hurt somebody else. That's not friendly. Did you know to have friends, you have to be friendly? Did you know it's pretty selfish of us to go to church and you walk through the door going, and then you leave, nobody at that church likes me, they wouldn't even shake my hand, they wouldn't talk to me. Would you talk to you looking like that? If you get in the door of this place and out of the door of this place without getting your hand shook, I'd be shocked. This is the friendliest place, and by the way, it ought to be that way. I greet people. I try to greet every human being that walks through this church every service. I don't get to everybody, but I try. And especially our visitors. Say why? They're God's people. They need to feel welcome here. And I want them to feel that way. I try to remember their names. I don't always succeed at it, but I learn it eventually. Can I tell you something? I think we ought to be friendly. This unfriendly attitude, nobody can please you. Oh, my soul. Did you ever meet somebody, no matter what you did, it wasn't good enough, wasn't the right way, wasn't the right kind, wasn't the right this? You know what I love about our make me a blessing thing for you ladies? We don't have a list of all your favorites, and if it wasn't on your favorites list, you don't want it. You get what you got, like it or lump it. And if you didn't like it, put it in a bag and give it to somebody else next month. It's pretty bad when you buy your own and you don't like it, though. You grumble, you don't speak, you yell at everybody. You know, if people don't give you what you want, you tell them to go to where the booger man is. You know, that's not the way we're supposed to live. That's not friendly. I love you, but teenagers get this way a lot. Teenagers hit a weird stage, junior hires especially. They just go stupid. Their brain rolls out their ear one day when they were sleeping, and they can't find it for a while. It falls under their bed and gets lost in the mattress. All right? But they go from being kind of goofy, stupid, and can't walk straight and fall down all the time like a three-year-old to then they start getting real mean and nasty. They get this attitude. And it's not because they want to. They don't even know they're doing it. They don't even see that they're doing it. But you got to keep that attitude adjusted. And teenagers don't want to go somewhere and feel awkward. They don't want to be embarrassed. One of the reasons we're going to go to a youth conference is we're going to be in a room with 1,000 other teenagers that are acting as stupid as they are, and they can cut loose and have fun and find out they're not as abnormal as they think they are. Some of them are. Now, you say, what happens? We determine what others have. We think everybody ought to be the same. Our media and our society has taught us that equality means everybody has the same thing. That's called communism. Equality doesn't mean everybody has the same thing or the same amount. Equality means you have the same principles available to you. Did you know if somebody makes $100,000 a year more than you, it's fair? Do you know that the owner of the company should make more? The guy that owns McDonald's should have more money and make more money than the guy that pushes the French fry button and waits for it to go beep, 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 beep. And anybody that has to put frozen French fryers in a basket, put it down, hit a button, and not even watch a timer, wait for it to beep, pick it up, let it drain so long, throw it over here, throw salt on it, and fill it back up. They shouldn't be making $15 an hour. Well, you can't make a living wage on minimum wage. Nobody said minimum wage was supposed to be the norm. That's right. entry-level job to motivate you to get off your backside and go do something else.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun right now. Equality doesn't mean everybody has the same. I'm going to teach you something. Did you know that men and women are different? When you was hatched, they looked at you and said, boy or girl?
Yes, amen.
There's only one way to determine that.
Yes, amen.
By the way, bathrooms are supposed to be the same way.
Yes.
If you're plumbed one way, you go to one. If you're plumbed the other way, you go to the other.
Right.
Everybody doing okay?
Preach.
When you're born, they don't stamp on you gender to be determined later. That's a lie out of hell.
Sure.
Okay? Come back, I'll tell you how I really feel later. And by the way, I think if a lady does the same work that a man does, yes, I think equal pay is appropriate. But I also, I'm going to get this off my chest. I told this to my wife yesterday. You know what really irks me is a woman announcer for a football game. I'm sorry. Not a one of those girls ever been out on that gridiron fighting with a 300-pound guy for a yard advantage on a football field. Not a one of them. They want to talk like an expert. Then they go into the locker rooms and interview these guys running around in their underwear. I've got zero respect for that. I'm sorry. I don't think that's a place for a lady. By the way, I don't think battle is a place for our ladies either. Not because they can't do it. It's our job to protect you.
Amen.
You're a male chauvinist pig. No, I'm a male chauvinist hog. But I believe in protecting the ladies.
Yes,
sir.
And ain't no man walking into a lady's bathroom that my wife or daughter's in. I'll block and tackle with my gloves on. Now, God didn't make us robots. You let two ladies show up to church with the same dress on. They'll never wear that dress again because somebody else is wearing my dress. Unfriendly attitude. Can I tell you something? Learn to smile and speak to everybody at all times, whether you like them or not. I was out recently, know somebody that doesn't like my internal organs a whole lot. I don't know why, but because to know me is to love me. But I saw them out in public. And I greeted them. I said, hey, Brother So-and-so, how are you? They didn't speak to me. I reached my hand out, but they didn't reach theirs out. They went, turned around and walked away. Say, what'd you do? Did you holler at them? I said, no, as they walked away. I said, have a good day.
Yep, amen.
I can be friendly whether they are or not. Amen. I'm not the one with the bad attitude. They are.
That's right.
And I'm not going to let their bad attitude give me a bad attitude. I've turned it into a game. Make them wiggle, amen? Can I tell you something? How do you get rid of an unfriendly attitude? Greet everybody with a smile and mean it.
Yes, sir.
Try it sometime. Everybody practice with me. Everybody smile. 1, 2, 3, smile. There you go. It's not that hard. Your face didn't crack as bad as you thought it would. All right, number 3. I got to hurry. An unthankful attitude. Ephesians 5:20 talks about being thankful. We get this attitude of everybody owes me something. I deserve the best. Who told you that? Why can't we have it? Because somebody else has it. Young people, mom, how come your car doesn't look as good as somebody else's mom's car? Lord have mercy. If you'd have seen the first car I owned, you'd have laughed. I go to the Bible college, see my kids. Man, these kids have some great cars. Do you know what a successful Bible college student was when I went to Bible college? If your car started 5 days a week.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Stoltz?
Yes, sir.
Most time, if your car ran on a regular basis, you were one of the rich kids. If you didn't have to push your car to get it started or have somebody jump it every 5 miles, you had a good car. I'm not kidding. Now, kids graduate from high school and mom and dad buy them a brand new $20,000 car. Man, aren't they lucky? No, I feel sorry for them. Because that's not the reality of life. This is an unthankful attitude, as nothing is good enough for you. this is where these kind of people, unthankful people, can't praise people well. Even praise is laced with, well, that's good, but you didn't get this part of it done either. That's real good praise. Yeah, honey, dinner was good, but I sure wished you would have had this and had this with it. It would have been better. That's not a wise thing to say. That's like telling your kids after 10 years, shut up and eat it. I don't like it either. And your wife heard you say it. You had to be here this morning to understand that one. Can I tell you something? that's like a kid brings home a report card. None of mine brought home straight A's. All right, but if they bring a straight A report card home, you're trying to look for something to tell them to improve on. Can you just say you did a good job?
Yeah. Congratulations.
Why do they always have to improve? You're looking for something negative when you should be praising. If we're looking for something negative in our praise, it's not praise. Anybody understand that?
Yes.
by the way, I never had to worry about telling my kids, great job for straight A's. None of them got it. They have their father's brain. you know, you don't have to point out everybody's flaws. They know what their own flaws are. Do you know, I don't have to point out Brother Mike's flaws. He knows what they are, probably better than I do. I don't have to point out Brother Joe's flaws. We got Leanne to do that. I mean, we don't have to point out each other's flaws. Why don't we thank God for the faithfulness of a Joe Lopez and a Mike Schenenberger and a guy willing to drive our bus? And it had a little mechanical problem, and out of his own pocket, he decided to pay for it, and I had to fight him for the bill. Why don't we praise people for that kind of stuff?
Amen.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, hang on here. Learn to say thank you for all that comes your way, even things that you think you deserve. I'm going to teach you something. Are you ready? How many of you don't raise your hand, would like to get a pay raise? Watch this. When's the last time you walked up to your employer and after he gave you a paycheck and said, thanks, boss, thanks for my paycheck? You say, well, I earned it. Yeah, why not thank the person that gave it to you, though?
Amen.
If it wasn't for them, you wouldn't have it. Every time I got a paycheck, I always thank my boss. My secretary writes the paychecks. You know, every time she gives me one, I thank her for it. Because she's my boss. No. I'm teasing. Can I tell you something? I think it's appropriate to thank your boss. He might have a heart attack. But can I tell you something? It would be appropriate for you to do. Did you know, fellas, if your wife does the grocery shopping, when's the last time you thanked her for going to the grocery store? If you're like me, thank God somebody else goes, because I hate grocery stores. And if I've got to go to the grocery store, I know exactly which aisle I'm going to, what I'm picking up. I could be in and out in 3 minutes, and that was 2.5 minutes too long. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I hate grocery shopping. My daughter was my wife's shopping buddy, and when Mindy went to college, couple times I took my wife grocery shopping. That's miserable. Now, thank God I was with her, but man, I hate pushing that stupid cart saying, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear. I took a picture one time and sent it to my daughter. I said, I'm grocery shopping with your mom. I took a picture in the store and sent it to her while my wife was looking at something. She said, boy, are you having fun? I said, I didn't say I was having fun, but I'm grocery shopping with your mom. We had a big deal with that. Now, wait a minute. When's the last time you thanked your husband if he takes care of the money at home that you thanked him for the food that's in the cupboards and the ability to even go grocery shopping? How about, fellas, if you got clean clothes on this morning and your wife did your laundry, when's the last time you thanked her for it? You get mad when she leaves them on the floor because you threw them on the floor, and you get upset if she didn't clean them. But have you ever thanked her for cleaning them for you? What about having a clean house? Well, it's clean, but it ought to be cleaner here. And wait a minute. Why don't you thank God that it's as clean as it is?
Yes, sir.
Maybe quit griping so much it might get cleaner. Or quit griping and go clean it yourself. I went from preaching to meddling real fast tonight, didn't I? Told you I was going to fix your attitude tonight. Can I tell you something? You say, how do you fix an unthankful attitude? Only say thank you for everything that comes your way for the next 7 days. No thank you buts. Just thank you. No thank you but what about... none of those. Just thank you for the next 7 days. And find out how good life can really get. All right? Number four, I'll hurry up. An I don't care or apathetic attitude. Look at verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Notice God says, make me to hear joy and gladness. That means you don't want to hear joy. You don't want to hear gladness because you don't care. Did you ever meet somebody that has an I don't care attitude about life? Usually it's, well, I'll touch base here. I call it the protester mentality. Do you know what these idiots in Charlotte and Baltimore that are protesting and burning buildings down and all these people? They have an I don't care attitude about life. I hate to tell you something. A bunch of people rioting in the streets, shooting and killing people. Violence and racism. Two black officers with a black police chief, with a black woman mayor, shot an armed man, not an unarmed man, an armed man. And they're claiming it's racism. Where's the racism?
Yep, there you go.
Then when the truth is presented, well, it's just black people in general. Even black cops are bad because they've been taught that all black people are bad. I'm going to make a statement here. Miss Kim's here. She's a black lady, and we've got others in our church. They know how I feel about this. There is not one drop of racist blood in my body. Amen. Not one.
Yep.
But listen to this statement. Just because you're black doesn't mean you came from slaves.
Right.
Every black person in America is not a descendant of slaves. And just so you know, they've rewritten history. Most of the slaves in America were the same as employees, not what the African American Museum in D.C. portrays it to be. That's a lie. Very little abuse that went on. Most of the slaves that were freed after the Civil War stayed and worked on the farms with their masters. And just because you're a certain color doesn't mean that you're a descendant of a slave. I have German background a lot. That doesn't mean I'm a Nazi. What's the difference? What's the difference? I get a little tired of this mentality. And not just with the black people, any group of people. Okay? I'm not limiting to that. I'm trying to illustrate. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The I don't care attitude people are the people that kneel or sit down at the national anthem. And I don't care if they play professional football or not. I think they ought to be able to do it in the locker room and not get a paycheck. It's not against their constitutional right. That is a true statement. But they shouldn't be lifted up. They ought to be terminated.
Yes, sir.
Period. This attitude of, well, I'm too busy for church. I'll give God the leftovers. My life's more important than what God wants. That's a pretty bad attitude. Wait till you die and face him. I'm not asking you to give your whole life to serve God here. But I do think we ought to show up to church.
Right.
Think we ought to be here as much as we're supposed to be here, just so that we can help with God's work. Everybody doing all right? Okay, I'm going to meddle for a second. This is the I don't care attitude of what the speed limit is. I'll go as fast as I want. Ouch. Did you know the speed limit there for a reason? Abide by it. And don't get mad at the police officer who pulls you over. Say why? Well, I was only doing 5 over. If you were over, you broke the law. Period. End of discussion. Okay, moving on. This is the attitude of, well, I'm just tired of living. I just want to give up. Well, if you're still sucking air, God has something for you to do.
That's right.
Keep sucking air and do what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Now, said all that, this is the whole sermon. I'm done in 2 minutes. Look at verse number 12. Say, why do we need a good attitude? Look at this. Look at verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Did you know that if we have the right kind of attitude, more people are going to get saved? What would you do if somebody knocked on your door? You came to the door and said, hello, may I help you? Yeah, if you're lost, you're going to die and go to hell and split hell wide open. You need to get saved. How well is that going to go over? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Did you know that if you knock on somebody's door appropriately and talk to them and give them the gospel, guess what? They're more prone to listen to you. Did you know that if you'll be cordial with people, they're more apt to listen to you?
Yep.
Do you know even if they disagree with you, you'll be more apt to get the gospel out to them? I don't stand there and argue with people. If they want to argue, I say, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you. You're not going to change me. Obviously, I'm not going to change you right now. Let me leave you with this. You have a good day. Say what? I'll be back and knock on their door later some other time. Somebody else from our church will knock on their door. And I'll leave the door available to open for the next people that knock on that door with the gospel. They might get saved. I'm just supposed to deliver it. I don't have to make them hear it all. Everybody doing all right?
That's good.
And if we have the right kind of attitude, we're more apt to see people get saved. Now, I'm hard on sin, but I try to do it with a good attitude. If my position offends you, I don't give a rip. If my disposition offends you, I'll work on it, and I'll apologize. I'm not going to apologize for believing. There's only one way to heaven, by trusting Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ alone to get you to heaven.
Amen.
I won't apologize for that. I won't apologize for preaching the truth of the Word of God in the King James only. I'm not going to apologize for that. But if I do it with a bad attitude and my attitude is wrong, I'll fix my attitude. Now, I think I have a right to have a bad attitude against sin. I think I have a right to have a bad attitude about our society today, because it's a bad attitude. I don't care what the president says. The Muslim religion's not a peaceful religion. Their Bible says if you believe in Jehovah God that you ought to be killed. That's peaceful? Well, Christianity, there's more people killed by Christianity than Muslimism, but our Bible says love your enemy. By the way, what they call Christianity really wasn't Christianity. Well, the Crusades, the Catholic Church was killing the Christians.
Yes,
it wasn't a battle of Christianity. It was the Christians getting slaughtered, not the Christians slaughtering. Everybody got that?
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? If we have the right attitude, more people are going to get saved. Why do we have so many visitors at our church? Because we have a friendly church. And we try to preach in such a way to where people will listen to the truth, but I'm not going to curb the truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat the truth. If you want sugarcoating, go to the donut store. We're going to flop it out, military chow, but we're going to do it in love, and love people in hopes that they get saved. Bless God, 5 people got saved today. We had 12 people out saved soul winning this week. We had 17 people saved in the last week from this church. Can I tell you something? God's happy with that.
Amen.
And that's the way it ought to be. And more people are getting saved because we're having a better attitude about it. Hey, let's renew a right attitude in us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I went over a little bit, but I felt it necessary. Who would say, preacher, if I died tonight, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, tonight, if I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that someday. Sure would like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon was a truth I needed for my life. Would you raise your hand? All right. Many hands up.